Turn to Deuteronomy. Leave your marker in there. Deuteronomy 29, 29. This is just to set a little groundwork this evening. Leave your marker in 1 Timothy. Are we there? The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. This is the beginning, I think, for the revelation of the Jesus Christ through in the Old Testament. Maybe not the very first, but I only went back to here because of the way it's written. Secret things belong to the Lord. I did look that up in the Greek, and it's very close to mystery, albeit not right on the money. And it is, let's see. Oh, I won't fool with that. It's going to take me forever to read this. So then let's move on, and we're going to go to Matthew 11. Matthew 11. 11, verse 27. I'm going to try to walk us through so we're not going back and forth. But I believe we might just have to do that a time or two. Matthew 11. These are in red letters. This is Jesus speaking. And I'm going to back up to give context to 25. At that time Jesus answered and said to them, I thank thee, O Lord. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Verse 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So there is the Son himself, Jesus, revealing from the Father. Next thing I want to look at is Matthew 13. So in 13, Jesus said, starting in verse 3, and he's speaking in parables. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some fell. And I'm not going to read the whole parable of the sower. And I'm going to skip down to verse 10. The disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they, seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. Excuse me. For this purpose, for these people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should not and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. So he's revealing himself in the scriptures, not only to them, he's revealing himself to us. So this is the groundwork. I'm laying some groundwork here for you. So now let's move to Romans 11. Romans chapter 11. Now we know who wrote this letter to the Romans, don't we? This is just after the discourse that about the olive tree and the wild branches being grafted in to the domestic tree. In verse 25, the Holy Spirit gave Paul unction to write this for us and for the church at Rome. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Romans 16. We're We're going to skip down to verse 25. Now to him that is power, that is of power, excuse me, to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Just a page. We're going to start in verse 2. Paul said to the church at Corinth, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Ephesians chapter 1. I won't read the introduction of Paul to the church at Ephesus, but I will start in verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. You understand that? The earnest of our inheritance? Earnest money up front, paid for, the down payment. Until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now I want to move over to Ephesians 3. You see where this book of Ephesians is put in this is what you need to do, onto this what you can do. Ephesians 3. I need to back up to just the very end of 2 to give context. It says, now therefore, I'm starting in 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no longer more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Chapter 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me toward you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, this is a real long sentence now, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. There's a mouthful in there, isn't there? Amen. Colossians chapter 1. Short book of Philippians and then Colossians. I'm going to skip down to verse 25 in chapter 1. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving to his working, which he worketh in me mightily. And I want to look at 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 2. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. Ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what matter of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who by him do believe in him, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, all the glory of man as the flower of grass. Grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. For this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. And then I want to visit Acts 20:21. Anybody know what that says?
Repent.
Anybody off the top of your head? Travis. Acts 20:21.
The gospel of repentance toward Christ, toward God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right. So there you go. There's the crux of this. Acts 20:21. And then before we stop, I want to visit 1 Timothy 3:16. So flip back to 1 Timothy. Yes, ma'am.
Each time mystery is spelled out, is it the same Greek word?
Yes, it is. It is. And it's used a lot. I didn't count them up. I think, if I remember correctly, the Strong said like 68 times.
Could you turn your board around and we can refresh our memory?
Certainly. And 1 Timothy 3, verse 16 reads like this. Now, when last Wednesday I agree, we're looking at qualifications for deacons. However, qualifications and conduct just run hand in hand in these scriptures, in my opinion. I think you're right on the money, Archie. And it's twofold. It starts in the house, with the head of the house. So in verse 16, this is the last verse of chapter 3, it says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So I want to focus on that has no controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. I think it could be said that there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, there's 6 things here mentioned at the very end of verse 16. God was manifested in the flesh. Lawrence, turn to John 1:14 and hold your place. Justified in the Spirit. Archie, Matthew 3, 15 and 16. Walter, justified in the Spirit. John 16, 7 and 10. Tina, Romans 1, 4, justified in the Spirit. Al, you want to do one?
Find it.
Okay. Scene of angels.
When
I tell you, when I say scene of angels, you're going to read Matthew 28, 1 through 3. So just put your marker in. Jerry, you want to do one?
Sure.
You want to do one, Jenny? Barbara, you want to do one? Jerry declined.
Sherry said sure.
Sherry said sure.
I heard somebody say it over there.
Okay. Luke, Sherry, Luke chapter 2, 9 through 14. Summer, scene of angels, 1 Peter 1, verse 12, 10 through 12. preached unto the Gentiles. Travis, Colossians 1:23. Beloved on in the world. Ryan, 1 Corinthians 1:18 through 25. Received up in glory. You want to do one? Okay, Lacey, Acts 1:9. Last one. Who wants to do one? Okay. Diane, Hebrews 1, 3 and 4. Okay, God was manifested in the flesh. John 1, verse 14.
And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth.
So there's a first-hand testimony right there by John. Okay, justified in the Spirit. Matthew 3. 15 through 17.
But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him.
Isn't that amazing? Justified by the Spirit. Okay, the next justified by the Spirit is John 16. Walter? Is that you?
I don't know. I didn't hear you.
Okay. John 16, 7 through 10. You can whip right over there on your computer. 7 and 10.
Say it louder, Gary.
John 16?
All right.
Thank you.
Nevertheless, I tell you that the truth is, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you.
There you go. There's this justified in the Spirit. Romans 1:14.
And was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Thank you. Okay, scene of angels, Matthew 28, 1 through 3.
Matthew what?
28.
I thought you told me Matthew 23.
28.
Okay.
Okay, just turn the page. 28, 1 through 3.
Take me a while to get there.
That's all right. Matthew 28.
Yeah. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his
raiment.
Raiment.
White as snow.
Yeah, I just.
That's okay. His garment was pure white. So yeah. This is scene of angels. Luke 2, 9 through 14. Did I sign that?
Yeah. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them.
Ah.
They were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Thank you. 1 Peter 1.
10 through 12.
Mm-hmm.
Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things.
Imagine that. Even the angels long to see what we see. Isn't that amazing? Preached unto the Gentiles, Colossians 1.
What verse?
23.
If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister.
Preached unto the Gentiles. Thank you, Trev. Believed on in the world, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 18 through 25.
For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing.
Yes.
But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God.
Amen.
It is written,
yes.
I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent.
Yep.
Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified to the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men.
Thank you. Isn't that an amazing passage through there? received up into glory, Acts 1:9.
Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight.
Can you imagine standing there? What are you guys looking at? The angel said, what are you doing? He's risen. And then Hebrews 1.
Okay. I will start at verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than them.
And I'm going to read 5, and that'll be it. I think you might have time.
Okay.
For unto which the angel said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And the angel and of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Archie has something he'd like to say.
Wow. I never knew without controversy. I mean, you can't argue with all that.
Can.
I mean, that's a good gracious. I'm going to do this, apologize for being disjointed from last week, but I want Gary to have his full allotment of time, and if he finished early, I wanted to take just a couple of minutes
and share my regret of my mistake last week in giving you false information that 1 Timothy 3:11 in some translations says deaconesses. There are no translations that I'm aware of that say deaconesses in that passage. However, I got confused because the passage that does call somebody a deaconess is Romans 16:1. In six translations, and if you read the NIV, it depends on which year the NIV you have as to whether or not it uses the word deaconess as describing Phoebe as a servant of the Lord in Romans 16:1. And if you just want to turn there and look at that passage in whatever translation you have, you may have one that says deaconess there, that she was a deaconess. Okay, and if you have the New Living Translation, it will say that. The Amplified Version says that, but it puts servant in parentheses after deacon. God's Word Translation calls her a deaconess there. The ISV, which is the International Standard Version, that's an uncommon version. And then, as I mentioned, the first translation that I'm aware of to do it other than Weymouth was the RSV in 1952. The RSV, the Revised Standard Translation that I downed so much, I gave you the wrong passage where it calls somebody a deaconess, but it is this passage. In 1952, they did that. That translation was endorsed by the National Council of Churches, a very ecumenical, liberal organization. The editor of the Revised Standard Version, the RSV, was a man named Luther A. Weigel. Luther A. Weigel, when you study him, was a Bible scholar, but he was a very educated man. And he had degrees from the Ivy League institutions, that kind of thing. And James asks the question, why? Why do people, what was the question you asked? Ask it again, okay?
You know, how can they just insert that?
Yeah. So yeah, and part of that has to do with the translations, as I mentioned. And also some of the, so what became popular back in the 1800s or whatever, maybe even before that, is a thing called the, now I forgot what I was going to say. German scholars, by and large, decided to do what they called the critical textual review of scriptures, okay? And so basically what they all did, ended up doing, was demeaning the Textus Receptus. Okay, which is the body of texts in Greek that the King James translators used to translate the King James. As a matter of fact, the Geneva Bible, and I mentioned to you those that were translated from the Textus Receptus, the Great Bible by Coverdale, the Geneva Bible, the Bishop's Bible, the King James Version. Several revisions before even the King James Version. Okay, but they used the Textus Receptus, and they used the Greek translation, not the Vulgate, not the Latin, because popery, in their mind, had perverted the Latin translation, because nobody could read Latin except for the priests and the popes and the muckety-mucks in the Catholic Church. Okay, so much of this does revolve, and it even revolves around which body of texts you use for people who are solid. You're going to hear even people like John MacArthur do not use the Textus Receptus, generally speaking. They use the NU text. I don't know what that stands for, NU. Nestle Underland or something like that. So they're Bible scholars who took these texts and worked with them. One of them's name was Nestle and the other Underland, and so he got the Nestle Underland. Okay, and then there's the M text, which is majority text. There's the Masoretic text. There's Alexandrian text. There's all these texts. Okay, and so even some of the modern Bible scholars
use the more recent texts because they were discovered after the body of texts that the King James translators had at their disposal. So they feel like, for whatever reason, that these modern discoveries shed more light on the translation, okay? But what I was going to tell you about Luther A. Weigel, the editor of the RSV, was that he was extremely ecumenical. And when I say ecumenical, it bothers people for some reason that everybody can't agree on something. You know, I mean, my goodness, me and my wife don't even agree on what color something is. We was talking about something the other day, and she said, I know what it was. It was, where are you at? Back there. It's Lacey and Ryan. That car you got. She said that car you got for Brooke was an orange car. Because it was sitting over there the other day. And I drove in, and I said, whose car is that? She said, oh, you talking about that little orange car over there? I said, no, that's not the one I'm talking about. I'm talking about the same car, but it's not orange, honey. We went and drove back by there, and she said, see, it's got orange on it. I said, okay. So, you know, we'll just go on about that, okay? But Luther A. Weigel wanted everybody who claimed to know anything about the Lord to be able to get along. So he was the general editor of the Revised Standard Version, which would hopefully unite everybody. The National Council of Churches would agree on it. And so there was hope that everybody would unite around one translation of the Bible. And it happened to use that word deaconess there in Romans chapter 1. So the bottom line, I apologize for getting, and here's the point, here's the reason I want to do this, okay? So even when you know the right thing, but you don't have the right text in the scripture to go with the right thing that you know, it doesn't meet the veracity that's demanded by the Word of God. And so it's important that if you say that this scripture says something, it's important that that's what that scripture says. I can't tell you how many people I have sat down with who told me this verse says this, and I'd sit down and say, no, it doesn't say that. Yeah, it says it right there. I said, no, those words aren't there. As a matter of fact, a guy quoted me on Facebook the other day and attributed words to my post that weren't in my post. And I reminded him of that. And, of course, he accused me of being holier than thou. Okay, whatever, I don't care. But I would just make that clear to you. I do apologize. I don't want to make those kinds of mistakes. Diane.
So is it? It's not the position of this church to appoint deaconesses. Is that what you're saying?
We haven't gotten that far yet, but it's unlikely that's going to happen.
Okay.
If it does happen, I'm going to tell you up front, I'll be against it. Okay, but
it looked
I, you know.
He served the women.
Say again.
It looked like she served the women.
Well, we have.
Who?
Phoebe did. In 16:1, she was serving women and children.
Where did you see that?
I don't see that.
Oh, okay. It's John MacArthur.
Oh.
Aha!
But it doesn't say that.
Aha!
Wait a minute.
The commentary.
It says
how about that?
The church. So and it says she served.
Okay. Here's something else. What translation do you have?
New King James, but we should look back where he...
Oh, the MacArthur version.
She's reading the notes.
First Timothy 10:11-13.
He's done NASB, New King James. Becky's got an NIV by him.
It's in Titus.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Where he says that?
Yes.
Titus 2.
I have NIV and it says servant.
Okay.
But it's the old...
Here's the interesting thing. You brought up John MacArthur. Let me just tell you this. Okay. Here's the interesting thing. Okay, so when John MacArthur did the NIV, Becky has an NIV by MacArthur, and it says deaconess. In the Legacy, he changes it to service. In the Legacy Standard Version, the last version he's done, he changes it to servant.
It doesn't say deaconess, it
no.
says servant.
No, but that's the New King James.
What she did.
Right.
And this is in Titus where it says that.
Right. So Becky got her, I bought her the John MacArthur NIV when we went down to the Shepherd's Conference and brought it back to her as a gift. And in that, his NIV, where he's the editor of that, he uses deaconess in the text. In the Legacy Standard, he changes it to servant. So
There's, I think they use the same text, right? The MGMT text for NIV.
Yes, probably.
In some places, NIV uses the NU.
The NIV uses the NU a lot. Yeah. Yes.
Not always.
Yeah. So
isn't it the same meaning? I mean, a servant, i.e. a deacon?
It's not the same.
It's not.
And that's why I spent so long confusing everybody with the three literal terms of deacon. And this is important. We got us a book here, okay? Now, we're really going now. We got us a purple. Yeah. What color is that?
Orange.
That's purple.
But so we're going to be looking at these things, but just know that translations play a role in this, okay? And translations serve biases as well, okay? Just remember that. Yeah, James?
You know, I think too, it's part of the confusion is like that word does kind of translate to servant, but the context in Timothy is different from the context in 16:1. So
yeah,
there's a difference between a role that's being described in the church and somebody who is a servant.
Yeah.
The word might be interchanged.
Yeah.
Well, here, when we talked about it last week, you had said the servant, definition, servant, minister to one, to wait on table, to minister or supply food, to deliver, to take care of the poor sick, to minister to a thing, to one, to serve, or supplying any of their needs.
So,
and that was, I believe that was in 1 Timothy 3, 18-13. I'm not sure, my notes are kind of sketchy, but the deacon is an actual office of the church, bishops and deacons.
Yeah. All right. Gary's going to close this.
Okay, I'm going to close this with a verse from Titus. I'm going to just read a couple of verses, starting in verse 4. But after that, the kind, excuse me.
Chapter?
3.
3, okay.
But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We know that it's living. We know that it's powerful. And we know all these things because your Holy Spirit gives testimony to our spirit to know that we know these things and we have this confidence in you, through you, and by you. So, Father, as we go, Father, may all that we say and all that we do till we meet again glorify you and you only. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.